Everybody, Dennis Prager here for the Fireside Chat, number 158. That's a lot. I'm very happy about it. It brings me joy how many people enjoy this, but enjoy isn't really a fully satisfactory word because that's not the only thing I want you to do. I do want you to enjoy it, but I want it to touch your life. That's the whole point of, frankly, everything I do, everything PragerU does. So anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat, my weekly, completely spontaneous, open my heart and my mind to your heart and your mind. That is Otto, of course. Not that. He is Otto.
That was so rude.
Wasn't rude. But I immediately changed it. I mean, that was, you know, I realized that. That is Otto. Otto is very special because Otto brings to our home pure relaxation. It is hard to look at Otto and think the world is in trouble. That's my take. And when he snores, which he occasionally does while I do the Fireside Chat, it is a particularly relaxing sound effect. Anyway, welcome indeed, my home to yours. Today's topic that I begin with, what I do is I always open with some thoughts and then I take your questions. So today's topic is about as important as it gets, and it is courage. So a word about courage, and I think you might have heard me say this, but I hardly assume everybody remembers everything they hear from anyone. That's why good ideas have to be repeated almost on a daily basis. Anyway, there are many wonderful human traits, right? Kindness, honesty, integrity, loyalty, selflessness, a lot of wonderful human traits, a lot of awful human traits. But among the wonderful human traits, they are all dependent upon one, and that's the rarest, unfortunately, and to a certain extent, that is the reason that the world is in trouble, and that is courage. Courage is the rarest of the good traits in human beings, and it is the one upon which all the others are dependent, because without courage, kindness and integrity and all these other wonderful things don't amount to much, because the world demands courage on every plane in life. In your personal life, it demands courage to do the right things. I mean, I'll give you a completely simple one. It takes courage, at least in the world today, for young people to get married, right? I'm going to commit to somebody theoretically for the rest of my life. Why do I need such commitment? I'm doing fine alone, which is what people think, but it's usually not the case. And it takes courage to have children. What am I going to mess with my easy life and have a child and you know, who knows what will be with a child? Which is true, by the way. Who knows? I was just talking to my trainer, as it happens, and she has a friend who is a massage therapist, and somehow she came up in conversation, and she mentioned that this woman, whom I know a bit, not well, has two children, one of whom has a congenital disease, which will constrict his life, the length of his life, and which already has had its effects on the child physically, and not as much, but somewhat mentally as well. It's just bad luck. If the woman didn't have children, she would not have such a difficult situation in her life. Having a child is a risky thing. You don't know how they'll develop. You don't know whom they'll marry if they marry. You don't know if they'll become addicted. You don't know anything. Everything takes courage. And we have raised a non-courageous generation. Parents have so hovered over their children, you know, the famous helicopter parent concept, allowing the child almost no risk of getting physically hurt. I mean, I could name things to you that if you're, I would say, under 40, even, let alone under 30, you may never have seen, maybe never heard of. You ever hear of monkey bars? When I was a kid, kids all played in monkey bars, but hey, you could fall. You could break a limb. So there were no more monkey bars. When I was a kid, whoever had a swimming pool had a diving board. At least in California, diving boards at swimming pools were banned, I don't know, 20 years ago, because, you know, some people got hurt diving off a diving board. They don't play dodgeball in many schools anymore. I don't even, what was the reason on dodgeballs? Because it hurts some, not, it can't be because it's an injury. It has to be because it hurts some people's feelings. But it takes courage to live through hurt feelings. We have lived in an anti-courage society. It's been engineered to knock courage out of you. And if it's true in the physical realm, it's even truer in the moral realm. And in speaking out, the whole cancel culture is based on the belief that people can be intimidated into silence. You speak, you will be defriended. You will be dropped off my Facebook page. You will be mob attacked on the internet. So people don't speak out. I have a friend who's a member of a member of a symphony orchestra. He's a phenomenal musician. And he is conservative in his outlook. And his fellow orchestra members don't know that. He has simply kept silent. So they all think that he agrees with those in the orchestra who are woke. And something has happened during this lockdown period. And he has simply decided, I can't live like this. And he has come out on his Facebook page and Instagram or whatever else, and simply asserted what his views on life are. When the orchestra gets back to playing, will he be in any way ostracized? He might be. And, you know, he will play whatever the orchestra plays with all his heart and all his immense ability. And if his colleagues refuse to invite him for a beer afterwards, then that's the price he will pay. I got a letter because of my own conducting. I, as many of you know, I'm a part-time conductor. I'm very involved in music. It's not my field at all. I'm not a professional. I don't claim to be, but I do conduct. I conducted at the Disney Concert Hall on a number of occasions. And so when there was a very big controversy over my conducting the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra, because Santa Monica, California is quite on the left, and I'm a well-known conservative, and so seven members of the 70 in the orchestra would not even play because a conservative was conducting. I was raising funds for them. I took not a penny. I raised the entire year's budget for the Santa Monica Symphony Orchestra the year I conducted for them. It was the first time a regional orchestra had ever sold out the Disney Concert Hall when I conducted, and they still walked out. It was more important for the mayor of Santa Monica, who announced, I'm not attending the concert of my own orchestra. It was more important that their orchestra not be able to be funded than a conservative conduct the orchestra. And it reached the New York Times, which wrote a very dishonest article on the entire thing, which is par for the course. And I just moved on. And we sold out the hall, and it was a major victory for free speech, for a freedom period and for the orchestra. So as a result of the national attention to my conducting, I got a lot of letters from members of orchestras around the United States. So a member of another world-renowned orchestra sent me a letter, a woman, and begged me not to mention the orchestra, her instrument, or anything. I have been a member of my orchestra 35 years, she said, and they do not know my politics. I feel bad for her, obviously. I felt terrible for her. To have to keep silent about your deepest values because you will be shunned. By the way, it almost never happens that you're completely shunned. That's the fear is greater than the reality. There's no question she's not the only one in the orchestra. I'll give you an example. When I spoke in San Jose, California, south of San Francisco a couple of years ago, some members of the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, here I am giving you the name, knew that I was coming to their area. Can we have dinner with you? And I'm a little kid. I mean, these are my heroes. To meet members of an orchestra was great for me. We could talk music, one of my top three loves in life. And I had a great time, and I become quite close to at least one of them. And I said to the, when I met them, there were like six of them, members of the orchestra, most of them wearing PragerU shirts. I said, holy crow, San Francisco? You know, this is not the Boise Symphony. This is the San Francisco Symphony. And I said, do your colleagues know? Of course they know. These guys are not ostracized. They're in a minority. But because they had the courage to speak out, they found kindred spirits. By the way, there are rewards to courage. One is you sleep better. You think better of yourself. This is deserved self-esteem. This is earned self-esteem when you exhibit courage. There is a self-loathing that comes with not exhibiting courage. I'm afraid, and to walk around in fear is also awful. It's probably awful for your health, among other things. People fear what's going to happen if I speak out. So, well, I'll deal with that in a moment, because sometimes there are really very unfortunate or terrible results. I acknowledge that. I don't live in a cocoon. I understand that. But the advantages of exhibiting and living with courage are far greater than the advantages of suppressing yourself. And the sooner in life you learn that, the happier and better a human being you will be. I get this question periodically on my radio show. So, Dennis, what should I tell my daughter? That was the first time I got the question, so I remember specifically it was about a daughter. Obviously, equally applies to a son. What do I tell my daughter? She's at college, and she knows that if she writes on a paper what she actually believes, she will get a lower grade. And that will affect her ability to get into a prestigious graduate school, et cetera, et cetera. So I have had a standard answer to parents who ask me this completely legitimate question. And my standard answer is this. If you will compromise in life over a grade, what won't you compromise in life over? You're not going to be shot. You're not going to be jailed. You will get a lower grade. That's unfortunate. There is a price paid for that if you want to get into graduate school. I acknowledge that. It is worth, in my opinion, it is worth going to a less prestigious graduate school and maintaining your integrity and stating, now always state, this is critical, always state it politely, always state it rationally, even understate it, but state it. That's the key here. Now, by the way, I'll give you an example. I believe it or not, I had this at college. This is not new. I had a left-wing teacher in English. And I'll never forget, the assignment was, look out the window, students, and write a paper on what you see. Look out the class window. So what was at the class window? This was Brooklyn College, New York City. When you looked out the window, you saw apartment buildings. You did not see a gorgeous campus like at, you know, University of California at Santa Cruz. You saw just a big apartment building. So I remember thinking, I know exactly what she would give me an A for. And I wrote it. I admit it. And I wrote, what I see is an apartment building, and every apartment looks like every other one. And I see a certain sameness to life that is crushing. And, you know, I don't know, some pablum. But I write well, and I got an A. Now, by the way, the truth is, while I wrote it with the understanding that she would probably like it, the truth is, that is what I saw. I do find large apartment buildings depressing. So I wasn't being dishonest to myself, but I wasn't asking, what, Dennis, do you really see, as much as, what will get me an A? So I don't want you to think that I didn't have to grapple with the issue of courage from an early age myself. I did. Very few people are born courageous. It's an attribute that you have to work on. So I have a whole speech. It's available at the Prager store. That's what it's called. Because all of my lectures are owned by Salem Radio, the people who syndicate me. And so some minimal charge for it. I'm not mentioning it to sell you a speech. I've never done that before. I'm mentioning it so that if you're truly interested, I did give one talk. I worked very hard on it. How to be courageous. And you know what? The first thing that you have to do to become courageous, it's going to sound so simple when I say it, you have to want to be courageous. To a very large extent, we do become what we seek to be. If you seek to be a good person and you work on your character, you will become a good person, or at least a better person. You have to seek to be whatever you want to be. The trick is to know what you want to be. We don't even have that. If I were to ask 1,000 college students, what do you want to be? I can't imagine 3 would answer courageous. I'm not blaming them. It doesn't register. Want to be courageous? Or even if I would say, would you like to be courageous? I think most people would say yes. But do they really want to be? Do they work on it? Probably not. So this is a time in American life unprecedented, where the courage to speak about one's convictions can come with steep prices. Friends will leave you. You will be bullied on the internet. I just sent out a tweet about a peer-reviewed study saying that hydroxychloroquine and zinc, taken very early when one gets a positive COVID report, one does have COVID, but it's the early stages, the success rate is extremely high. If it's taken not once you're hospitalized, then it's usually too late. But if it's taken at a very early stage, it's incredibly successful. So amazing to me, and I said, I think it saves lives. I think it'll save lives. In fact, I'm convinced of it. And you could see it on my page. The FU, just FU, Prager, FU, FU. I hope you die, or similar things, which is an amazing. Now, I want you to understand, you may be curious about my internal reaction. I am not hurt at all. It has no effect on me. But it does affect me in that I am sad for the society I love that we have produced so many miserable human beings that they would use an obscenity over somebody advocating a completely safe. I mean, there's no such thing as completely safe. Aspirin's not completely safe. Okay, I understand that. Peanuts are not completely safe. I understand that. But within the realm of what is prescribed, it is about as safe as exists. It's been taken by tens of millions of people for over a half a century against malaria, against lupus, against against rheumatoid arthritis, and daily, and with no effect. If you have a heart condition, it could result in an arrhythmia that you speak to your doctor. So I knew that it would be unpopular. I didn't realize the intensity of the reaction, but it is what it is. If I have the option, am I going to keep quiet on what I believe can help people get well versus am I going to be popular? There is no contest. I, when I was in high school, even I started thinking, how do I want to be known after I die? I know it's strange to think that way in high school, but I've always thought about serious things. That's my nature. And I remember thinking, I don't want to die with, he was popular. that was not a goal. It was not a goal to play it safe. He avoided controversy. These are not goals of mine. By the way, there's another reward about courage. Aside from you'll sleep better, you will have higher self-esteem, you will draw people into your life who are good. Because not everybody is going to attack you. A serious percentage of the society will say, wow, that's somebody I'd like to know. So you get rewarded with courage in that you attract like-minded people into your life. There are rewards for speaking out and being courageous, far greater than keeping quiet. So it is time to be courageous. And what is amazing is this is the most important, it's not the most important. Most important is courage. But this is one of the most important ancillary points here. Think about what it takes courage to say. And this tells you about the other side, about how awful they are. It takes courage to say, I am colorblind. The goal in life with regard to race is to be colorblind. It takes courage to say what Martin Luther King said, what every liberal said. The whole point of life with regard to race is to be colorblind. And now it takes courage to say, yes, we should all be colorblind. I want to see your personality. I want to see your character. I want to see your mind. I want to see your heart. I don't give a damn about your skin color. That it takes courage to say that gives you an idea of the sickness that pervades our society. Think about what it takes courage to say. It takes courage to say, if you're an American, with all its flaws, I love America. It takes courage to say that now. Didn't take courage to say that when I was a kid or for all of American history. And now it does. Gives you an idea of the moral quality of the people who try to intimidate you from saying such things. So my advice to you is speak up. You will be a hit. And then you will realize, by golly, I survived. I found wonderful people. And then it becomes easier and easier. Okay. Time for your questions. And we begin with the video question of the week. There we go. Okay.
Alexa Cutts, I'm 18 years old and I'm from Idaho Falls, Idaho. I think a big problem we are seeing right now is people not being able to think for themselves or reason through things, and I think a lot of it ties to the public school system. So I just want to know what you think are the biggest changes that need to be made in America's public school system and how likely those improvements are going to be implemented.
Well, thank you. You know, I got to tell you that that gives me hope. How do I get to the questions? Here you go. To the further questions. But I want you to know you give me hope. In fact, enough people like you in Idaho, and I'm tempted to move. The schools do not teach reason any longer. The irrational has dominated life. When the ACLU tweets out that men menstruate, and when Tampax puts out an ad that, you know, it's not necessarily a woman if somebody menstruates, so tampons are for everybody, that's irrational. It's completely irrational. We have gotten rid of reason for the sake of what we call social justice. And social justice is its own issue. We should pursue justice. Social justice is obviously not the same as justice, or people would not have used the word social. It's not justice to have biological men compete against biological women in girls' races in high school. That's not just. It's not fair to those biological women who just can't win, and they don't. In Connecticut, almost every record in track is owned by a biological man who identifies as a woman. I'm not attacking their identifying as women. I'm attacking the idea that they are allowed to race against biological women. That's just not fair. It's obvious. Everybody knows it's not fair. But you are asked to suppress reason for the sake of a given social justice value. Reason is not enough in life to guarantee goodness, which is what I care about. But it's necessary but not sufficient. We need oxygen, but you can't live on oxygen alone. But you can't live without oxygen. Reason is oxygen. So the schools are not teaching that. I have given up on most schools. Read my column this week on what happened when a school outside of Toledo, Ohio, showed or just simply offered the students the option of watching a conservative video from PragerU, anyone they wanted. And the pandemonium, as it were, that it caused, because they don't even want, the left doesn't want 5 minutes of conservative thought to be allowed in a school, because deep down they know that 5 minutes of conservative thought will undo a year of left-wing indoctrination. That's the irony. They're scared of 5 minutes, and they should be. It doesn't take much to undo left-wing thought, because it's not thought, it's felt. So I tell parents it's a very risky thing to send your child to an American school today, and I can't tell you how sad I am about that. But unless you could find a school that still believes in excellence and reason and teaches truth, not left-wing ideas. I don't mind, by the way, if kids are subjected to right-wing and left-wing ideas that are labeled as such. I think it's great. I don't have any problem with that. But I do have a problem with presenting left-wing ideas as if they are true and there is no other competing idea that is legitimate. Schools are a problem. As I have said to parents for a long time, sending your child to college is playing Russian roulette with their values. I now hold that true for high school and elementary school, where kids who were 5 years old are In many schools, they're no longer called boys and girls. They're just called students because we don't, quote, want to impose a gender identity on them. I think that that's a form of child abuse, not to call them boys and girls. That's what they are. They're boys and girls. By the way, the irony is, I don't know who was excluded. Even the transgender think they're a boy or a girl. So who's excluded?
All done?
All done?
Yeah.
We're at 30?
Yes.
That is so sad. Oh, what can I do though, right? So many wonderful questions from all over the world. I look at them right before I go on. So you know what I may do? I got to do it 1 week. I'll just do the questions because there are so many good ones. Anyway, I'll leave you with this on courage. I'm a big Bible fan. I think it's the wisest book ever written. And without wisdom, life is unnavigable. You know what God says to human beings the most in the Bible? And even if you're an atheist, you should find this instructive. Do not fear. Good advice from a good book. On behalf of Otto, I'm Dennis Prager, and see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.